Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. We are continuing along the road to the 2023 NHL Draft. Mike Morial, how are you, sir? We've got a huge show today.
Oh, doing very well, Adam. Doing very well. And you're right. We do have a great show. This is the Connor Bedard show, the extravaganza. Look, hey, Adam, right? The most gifted NHL draft prospect we've seen in 6 years, and since Auston Matthews in 2016 and Connor McDavid in 2015. I don't think it's far-fetched to call Connor Bedard generational.
I think he certainly looks that way right now. You look at the numbers on the back of the hockey card, you watch the highlight videos, and yeah, there is a good reason Connor Bedard has become the hype machine that he's become, and he's earned that chance to be in the spotlight. Leading scorer in the Western Hockey League, he's dominating, and it's not even just this season, right? Like, you go back a couple of years, exceptional player status, World Juniors at 16, scored 4 goals as a 16-year-old in a World Juniors game. Unfortunately, that was the never-to-be-spoken-of-again version of the World Junior Championship that didn't quite last more than 4 days. But, you know, still, 4 goals in a game as a 16-year-old. I think Wayne Gretzky, the only other person to do that. So that's pretty exclusive company. So that's why, and he's only gotten better since then.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, I was just thinking as you were talking, Adam, remember last season CHL Top Prospects game in Kitchener? We spoke to a lot of 22 draft eligible players, and all of them, Luke Adell, Bell Blues, Connor Geeky, Owen Pickering, I remember, Mats Lindgren, Tyler Brennan, they had nothing but good things to say about Connor Bedard. There's a respect there. That isn't always easy for players, you know, of that age that are competing against one another night in, night out, who are out for the same thing. So there's a respect factor there. And hey, let's face it, you know, so far, some of the players that, you know, we've heard Bedard compared to, you know, he likes to compare himself to Kirill Kaprizov. We heard that in the podcast with Dan Moore in our first episode of season 5. Others have mentioned Patrick Kane, Steve Yzerman, Marcel Dion, you know, Peter Sullivan from NHL Central Scouting, the veteran there, said Marcel Dion, he's reminded of when he watches Connor Bedard. So, I mean, what else is there to know? 2 Hall of Famers, 1 destined to the Hall, and another one of the most dynamic offensive forwards in the game today. So Connor Bedard is flash and dash and certainly a player that we're going to enjoy watching this season.
Yeah, we went in depth with Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, last episode, where we talked about the preliminary players to watch list. And obviously Bedard was an A-rated player. And as you mentioned, you know, you can make the, you know, Kaprizov, Kane, whoever you want to compare him to. He looks like a stud, and he looks like he's going to be an NHL ready player right from day one. You know, we talked to Craig Button. I remember right after the 22 draft, and we asked him, you know, where would Connor Bedard go if he was in that group? And he said Bedard would have been number one then. So there's not a lot of debate, really. It feels like, is Connor Bedard going to be the number one pick in the 23 draft? It's just a question of what team almost will have the opportunity to select him.
Can't nitpick about what he's been doing so far. As you mentioned at the top, you know, leading the WHL in scoring. This is a player that's probably going to be there, if not all season, among the top three, I would imagine. And already scouts are saying, hey, you know, we've seen enough of Connor Bedard. We've made up our mind. We made our decision. We don't even have to watch Connor Bedard anymore when we go to the Western Hockey League. But we're going to be watching him throughout the season, no doubt, because he's so fun.
Now, we talked to Bedard a couple of days ago. At the time, he had a 12-game point streak. He was leading the Western Hockey League in scoring. And he goes into some great detail on his game, on his stick. Talks about some of the work ethic that it's inspired by his father, Tom, who works in the logging industry. Let's get to that interview with Connor Bedard right now.
So, Connor, can you talk a little bit about expectations and if that weighs on you at all?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I got expectations for myself, and, you know, I set those high for myself, but, you know, I don't think the kind of outside noise has, you know, too much effect on me, you know, when I'm playing or thinking about the game.
Can you go into details a little bit as far as what those expectations were for yourself? You know, everybody kind of talks about, you know, X number of goals or X number of points, but is there something you were looking to accomplish this season?
I think, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, set a number out there, you know, whether it's goals, points, or, you know, whatever with that way. But, you know, I think for me, it's, you know, just becoming a better player, you know, having our team, you know, have success. And, you know, obviously, as, you know, an offensive player, you want to score goals, you want to get points. But, you know, for me, it's kind of hard to set that number, just try to, you know, become better in all aspects of the game.
And speaking of becoming better, Connor, I read somewhere that you most want to improve, one of the areas you want to improve is boxing out. Since when does a player of your skill level have the need to focus on boxing out, and why is that important to you?
Yeah, I think just, you know, it's little things like that for me. It's, you know, I work on my offensive game so much, whether it's shooting or, you know, playmaking, something like that. And, you know, for me, that's just a little skill that, you know, I'm honestly not very good at, or something I haven't, you know, trained much in, you know, the summer or something. So it's just kind of a little area that I thought would be something good to kind of have a little goal on to get a little better at.
So, you know, kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, we see all the great plays, the goals, the assists, the, you know, but what's the thing that you do or that you're working on that you really want people to notice that maybe, you know, people in our line of work aren't talking about right now?
I think maybe my face-offs to start the year, you know, I think around 58% or something. So, you know, I'm pretty happy about that. And that's some, you know, I've been working on a lot, obviously, long season to go with that. But, you know, for me, that's a small area I find important. And, you know, obviously, it's going to be a center at the next level. And that's something that, you know, I'm proud of to start the year.
I know you're a big fan of Austin Matthews, Connor. You know, what do you appreciate most when watching his game?
Yeah, I mean, his shot's kind of, you know, one of a million almost. You never, I don't think anyone's ever really seen someone be able to shoot a puck like him. And just that's so good. But not only that, it's, you know, getting himself in areas to shoot. That's probably the hardest part of scoring goals, getting those chances. And, you know, he seems to create that space for himself, you know, probably better than anyone right now.
So other than Matthews, you know, who are the guys that you watch when you're watching NHL games, either to take things for yourself or just for fun?
Yeah, I mean, I watch all the Canucks games just for being a fan. And but, you know, whenever there's a game on, I think I'm, you know, you watch top players, whether it's, you know, McDavid, Crosby, you know, Kucherov, all those guys. So just whenever there's games on, I try to watch them. And you know, you can obviously learn something from every player that's playing.
So because so many of us are kind of enamored with your shot, Connor, I'd like to talk stick flex with you if I can. So
okay.
We know the flex of the stick basically indicates how much the stick will bend when shooting. I've seen that the average stick flex for forwards in the NHL is between 85 and 100. And I know Ovechkin uses a 79. I've read that some take their weight and divide by two to get an idea what flex to use. And based on that arithmetic, your stick would be as high as a 92. But I've read you use a 70, which is pretty whippy, I think. Can you kind of explain to fans why stick flex is so important to you and the decision behind going to a 70 flex?
Yeah, I think, you know, what for me, I think, you know, everyone's different, but just being able to get shots off quicker and, you know, get shots off from kind of every area, whether your stick's all the way out or close to your body or something. So that's just what feels comfortable for me. And, you know, obviously it's super whippy and, you know, I might not have the best one timer, but, you know, it feels good for, you know, just getting shots off and you know, feel of it coming off my stick.
So, Connor, you talked about face-offs and talked about some of your defensive elements of your game, but where do you still feel you can improve your game? What areas are you kind of focused on getting better in?
Yeah, I think defense is a big one. You know, like I said earlier, you know, being a, you know, offensive guy, I think that, you know, you can sometimes look for offense more, and you know, I'm definitely guilty of that sometimes. So just being, you know, responsible and being someone that can be trusted, you know, last minute of the game when you're up a goal or something like that. So it's definitely something I'm always trying to learn a bit more and, you know, try to get a little better at.
So I was reading about some of your offseason workout and the schedule that you put in. It's pretty intense. You know, some of that is your own inner work, your own inner drive, but how much of that work ethic comes from your dad, Tom?
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I mean, from the hockey aspect, it's, you know, for me, kind of love the game, and I always want to do that. But you know, from, you know, kind of life, and you know how he is, he's one of the probably the hardest working person I know. I mean, you know, if you were to kind of look at what he does and, you know, compare it to what I do, it's like I do nothing in a day. So I was getting up 3 a.m, driving 4 hours each way, and obviously doing a really hard physical job. It's, you know, he's obviously a, you know, hero of mine in that way. And it's pretty impressive to just look at that and see what he's doing every day to, you know, provide for my family.
That's great, Connor. So I wanted to touch in September, our colleague Sean Rourke and Dan Rosen caught up with Connor McDavid for an interview for the At the Rink podcast, an episode I recommend to all our listeners, by the way, to check out. In that interview, McDavid was asked what advice he'd give you. I'm wondering if you could react after listening to what the Oilers the Edmonton captain said here.
I think everybody kind of goes through their own little journey and, you know, their own process of getting into the NHL. And I think for me, the sooner I realized that I could play here and play in the NHL and be successful, it was the better. You know, and I was actually just at the Biosteel camp with Connor Bedard, and he was taking on Cale Makar, and, you know, there was a 2-on-1, and he's shooting it and not passing to, you know, Sid or something like that. So he definitely doesn't lack confidence. So I don't think he's going to have an issue. For me, it was always just coming up and, you know, maybe having a little bit too much respect for the older guys and you know, feeling like, you know, I don't necessarily belong here and I got to prove myself and stuff like that. But as soon as I figured out I could play in this league and be successful and do my thing, like, it was just like playing hockey like I was growing up. So I would say that would be my biggest thing.
So what do you think there about that, his advice?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's good. He's someone that, you know, I'd recommend listening to with, you know, how well he's done. And, you know, I've got the opportunity to skate with him a few times, like you said, at the Biosteel camp. And, you know, I think for me being, I've skated with NHLers for a while now, and I think that part of it, it gives you confidence on, you know, like you said, not passing on a 2-on-1, which I probably should, but I don't know. I mean, I think just that confidence of being with guys, obviously in Vancouver and going to Toronto and seeing McDavid working out with them a bit and that sort of thing. It's it just makes you feel comfortable, and you realize that they're human beings that are, you know, unbelievable at a sport. So it's just that part of it's fun. And, you know, I think that helps with confidence a bit.
So speaking of the human being element of it, you're a guy who we're going to be talking about a long time between now and the draft in Nashville. You know, you're in the spotlight. You've got a heavy hockey schedule. You've got things you do away from the game. But how do you sort of disconnect? What does Connor Bedard do on a night off, on a day off, to sort of disconnect from the world? Do you watch TV, movies, music, books? How do you sort of get away from everybody and everything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even at the rink when you're, you know, getting dressed or something, you're just talking with your teammates, your buddies. And, you know, I think that's one of the best aspects of hockey is, you know, kind of having that family environment in the room. And, you know, it kind of takes stress off of the game almost. And then I think outside the rink, just, you know, seeing friends, spending time with family and that sort of thing, whatever it is you're doing, it's, you know, always enjoyable. And, you know, that setting and being with people you enjoy being with.
So there's no video games that you'd get into with friends or anything? Is there one game that you like the most? Or
I don't really play video games, so it's kind of just, you know, hanging out, watching TV or something like that.
Yeah, me too. I avoid the video games too.
How about your charity stuff that's going on right now, Connor? What do you like to do? What are you doing around the community, and anything you want fans to know?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, go, you know, meet a little kid's team or something like that. Or, you know, I'm with Hockey Gives Blood. So, you know, we're doing a little blood drive here in a week, you know, get some of the teammates out there and, you know, kind of promote that. Obviously it's a, you know, good cause, and, you know, I'm happy to, you know, kind of be with them. And then, you know, whenever you can help out with small things, especially in, you know, Regina, for a community like this so passionate about us, you know, to give back a little is obviously special.
That's great stuff, Connor, on the ice and off the ice. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here on NHL Draft Class, and good luck with the rest of your season.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Mike, there's a lot of great stuff there. I love the little geeky stuff about the stick there, kind of trying to figure out what the flex is and how it works. It's such a strange thing. It's such a particular thing. I guess, you know, in baseball, it's the same thing with a bat. Like, how, what size, what weight for a stick, it's what flex, you know, and it can change. I would assume, like, throughout a season, if you're more tired, if you're less tired, you know, if you feel stronger. So it was really interesting listening to him talk about that.
It was, Adam. And, you know, I was doing, I actually did a little research before the interview, just learning a little bit about the stick flex and how important it is to certain players. Obviously, the bigger defensemen use a stick flex that has a higher number, like in the 100s, 150s. And then the forwards like to use that between that, as I said, like between 70 and 95 or 100. And you just mentioned it, you know, in fact, former NHL forward Daniel Briere, you know, I remember I read somewhere that he started out with an 85 and wind up with a 75 or 70 later on in the season. So it does change up. And I would imagine sometimes it even changes up during the course of a week. But in the case of Bedard, using that 70, there's a lot of flex there. And you can see that when he shoots the puck right at him. You look at those shots, and usually the ISOs on his shot when he does score a goal. And we saw that at the World Juniors too, on NHL Network and TSN, whenever he was playing, they would ISO on the stick and how it, like, the flex goes back and he really whips it. And you can see his face, how hard he wants to shoot this puck to beat the goaltender in any which way. And it's really fun to see. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, because he's asked a lot about the stick flex and how it helps him in shooting the puck, coming down wing when he is and getting that shot off the way he's able to do from the circle. So it's really impressive. And I guess the one other thing, and you had asked a question about if he improved anything this season. You know, I really like the fact that, you know, he said that he's really wants to improve working on faceoffs, and he is doing that. The last I saw, he was over 56-57% on draws. It's a key part of his game. Obviously, he has, when you have possession of the puck, he has more chances to move in on offense, scoring chances. So he's doing the job there as well. Stuff that he wants to perfect and improve upon, we see him doing that as well. And faceoffs is a priority for him.
Well, for sure, because it's those little minute details of the game that are going to be what gets him to where he wants to be. Look, you know, he can score all the pretty highlight video goals that we want to see. There's a lot of guys in the American League who can pull off some of those plays, but it's those things. It's getting stronger. It's bearing down on chances. It's winning faceoffs. It's defensive play. All those little things are going to go into what makes it, what could potentially make him a superstar generational type player. You know, I mean, you know, it didn't happen for McDavid overnight. There were areas in his game he needed to work on. I remember when Sidney Crosby came into the league, people said he could never win a faceoff. And Sid, in his second year, I think, went from like 48-49% on faceoffs to well over 55%. And he's been a really good faceoff guy since then. So, you know, the fact that he's looking for those little areas of his game to improve speaks to his work ethic. You know, and it was interesting to hear him talk about that. You know, his father, Tom, works in the logging industry, and you know, he's talked about dad working 12-hour shifts and coming home on like 3 hours of sleep and driving to his game to see him play. You know, that work ethic rubs off on your kids. You know, I know it happened with my father and me. So, you know, to see him doing that, you know, putting in that kind of effort, putting in that kind of, you know, work to get better on the smaller elements of the game, that's what's really going to, that stands out to me. And that's what's going to make him the superstar that he could possibly be and likely will be.
I remember asking Central Scouting senior manager, David Gregory, if Connor McDavid was the best prospect since Sid in McDavid's draft year. And I remember Gregory telling me, yeah, because, you know, just about everything he does great. And he also wants to get better at it. Based on this alone, Adam, I think it's fair to put Bedard in that stratosphere. Look, this is a special player. You know, even in our interview, you can tell how composed he was. He's been doing this.
He's done this a few times.
Yeah, for quite some time. His answers are not robotic. He thinks, and that was the case, you know, when we asked him to listen to, you know, McDavid's response to his advice for Connor Bedard. I thought his answer was fantastic. So this is a player that is already a pro in some regards. Obviously, he knows he has to do a little more to become that professional. Once he does, you know, once he is drafted, we all expect him to be playing in the NHL, you know, next October. But until that time, as you said, Adam, you know, he wants to continue to lead the dub and do the things necessary to help Regina, you know, possibly win a WHL crown and then the CHL Memorial Cup.
Well, it was great getting to talk to Connor today, and we are going to talk about him a lot more as the season goes on. There's going to be We've got World Juniors coming up in December. We've got top prospects in January. So it's nice to see he's already prepared for these interviews, for meeting with us. And you know, he seems like a bright young man. And he talked about some of the charitable endeavors he does off the ice, where he's involved with blood donations and that sort of thing. So it's nice to see he's not just a hockey guy, that there's more to him. And it's going to be fun finding out more about him as we go through this process.
Absolutely. And in addition to Connor Bedard, we will be discussing a lot more other prospects that are, you know, high end in this draft. You know, Braden Jaeger is a player that's doing the draft diary for us this year, once a month, Adam. And Adam Fantilli, the University of Michigan, will be doing a diary as well. We'll have NHL draft notebooks coming out beginning November. So that's a lot of stuff to look forward to. And if you missed it, Dan Maher, of course, was, you know, season five, the kickoff, first episode. We spoke to Dan about the NHL Central Scouting's players to watch, all the A, B, and C rated players, most of them. So you might want to check that out. It was fantastic. Great insight from Dan.
Might. They have to go check it out. They have to go back and listen to last episode with Dan Maher. It's available, NHL Draft Class. It is available anywhere you get your podcast. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.